You're like a hole in the front.
Oi, where? Here or there?
What?
In America?
No, he's in America Thursday. It happened on Friday.
You got a hole in on Friday?
No, it happened a couple of months ago. And the doctor said it will close up. It closed up. It reopened. So they figured it might not be going to be enough. Surgery today. LeBron and Sammy's surgery went all right.
Good, thank God. Well,
thank
what's
God.
His name?
Naftali Chaim Ben Chaya.
Naftali Chaim Ben Chaya Sarah.
Chaya Sarah.
Chaya Sarah. Naftali Chaim Ben Chaya Sarah. Very good. Yin, let's rock and roll.
Someone's recording?
What?
I'll be back in 2 seconds.
Hi, is this yours?
That's Harry.
Who?
Harry.
Hi, Harry.
Hi, Harry. Who's Harry Portman? I know that kid was in our yeshiva. Joke.
Harry Portman, who's that?
I heard that kid, Harry.
Harry, I can't believe you gave Shipman that candy over me. That was low. That was like a shot to the kidney or something. It hurt.
Ow, Harry. Ow.
Harry, boy, man. Harry.
Harry. Hey, Harry.
Harry.
Harry, you have to listen
Harry.
To
Harry. Where are you before. Going Harry, the lights go out? Harry.
Please.
Harry.
Please.
Where do you go in the lab?
Harry,
you
got to tell me. Let's talk about Harry while he's not here.
Harry.
Harry, what a loser.
Harry. Harry.
Harry Portman.
He's up.
You know what? I think I'm
going to get
right out
of here. What's going on? Yeah, it's here right now. Reverend's coming right now. Meshe Chachma. Who's the author of Meshe Chachma? Hold on, who's the author of Meshe Chachma?
I don't know his name.
Yeah, no, I spoke to him also. The one. Yes, I say. Yes, it's recording.
I want it that way. Yeah. Just to work apart and reach to your heart when we say, I want it that way. And tell me why ain't nothing but a heartache. Tell me why ain't nothing but a mistake. Tell me what I never want to hear you say.
I actually saw people. Each and every no. What do you mean? I'm not talking about you guys. You guys are the regulars. You guys are the regulars. Let me ask you something. How many people? Who is that?
Rob, I thought so also. Rob, I thought once you were.
Gentlemen, how many guys are there in this yeshiva? 100, let's say Shana, 100?
100.
100. How many shiurim are going on right now? I think 2 or 3?
Three.
So how many are here? Let's say 10. How many are the other one?
3. Well,
there should be 3. There should be 33 in each one.
Sorry.
I'm guessing that there are... No, but now that there are in ours, that means that in the other one there should be about 50 in each.
Yeah. Monday is all you can eat sushi now.
Monday is all you can eat sushi now. You know the problem with all you can eat siren is?
Okay.
That people eat all that they can eat and they end up getting stomach aches.
It's so good.
Today,
that's
I want to announce...
Where?
I went there once.
Someone... who's has wrought a lot of evil on the planet of Earth, a man who is despised by many, loved by others. I want to denounce him publicly. I would like to repudiate him, only because I wanted to use that word. I'm not sure. The man's name
But we don't know either, so you can be
sorry. It's Osama bin Laden. Ladies and gentlemen, Osama bin Laden is a BR.
A big Russian.
The Meshech Chochma was written by Rabbi Meir Simcha from Dvinsk. A man.
No relation to Osama bin Laden.
A man was a rabbi in the Gadol HaDor of his time. He wrote a book, the Meshech Chochma, which already in when he was still alive was a classic. It was on the shelves and on the tables of many of the great rabbis of his time. And anybody who ever wants pleasure out of this world, I highly recommend the Meshech Chochma. But if next year you're going to be in Baruch and you're not going to be around B'nai Torah and B'nai Yeshiva, the odds of you learning a lot of Meshech Chochma are very slim. So I just want to publicly beseech my dear friend, my brother, Ari, and ask him, please, make the godly decision next year. You could do it. Your parents really want you to do it also. Anybody who learns Torah next year, they're going to be giving their parents more life in this world than in the next. But anybody who goes next year and doesn't learn Torah, then their parents are going to be getting a lot less reward in this world than in the next. So if you really love your parents, you will stay in yeshiva, or at the very least, will attend yeshiva in America. But that's not the topic of today. The topic of today is Rabbi Meir Kahana. Now, certain guys in this yeshiva, I've noticed, I'm reading these Kahana books, and guys get very militant. Somebody told me he wasn't convinced to make Aliyah until he read Rabbi Kahana's book. Now, I think that's very sad that a person needs to read the Rabbi Kahana's book to make Aliyah. You know, it's the most convincing argument for me. But I've never heard anybody who would claim that it's easier to get close to God outside of Israel than inside of Israel. If you would have told me that 80 years ago, it would have been worth to talk about it, because there was great Torah centers in Poland and in Russia. But today's day and age is very, very... I've never met a person who would claim, and it's impossible to say, that in America it's easier to get closer to the Rabbanu Shalom than it is in Israel. So there you have it, one good reason to live here. The other good reason? Because it's a mitzvah. So therefore, a person who looks for mitzvahs comes to live in Israel. Always mitzvahs, well, yes, by mitzvahs, the more mitzvahs you love. So you don't have to read a Kahana book and get all political about it. Now, I'm not talking about Rav Kahana himself, because Rav Kahana himself is not the subject of today's shiur. But what is the subject is militancy. Now, if somebody's going to say afterwards, this is not what Rav Kahana believes, or this is what Rav Kahana believes, I don't know what Rav Kahana believes, because Rav Kahana never really spoke to me. But I do want to talk today about being militant, talking the way we talk about Goyim, the way we talk about Arabs, the way we talk about black people, the way we talk about those who don't like. The attitude, the correct attitude, and it could be that Rav Meir Kahana would agree with everything we're learning today, and I have no problem with him or with his books. I definitely find them very interesting. But I wanted to study today a book called The Torah. Who is that?
He doesn't sleep at all in night. He just sleeps randomly.
Yeah. He runs all night.
Doesn't come back with him.
So I'd like to read this Meshech Chochma to give us the correct attitude. Hine! Everyone have it? Great. The Pesach Mitzrayim, I put it on arrows. The Pesach Mitzrayim, lawyer, she puts a no again. This is about Purim, by the way. It also relates to Purim. Mitzrayim, the Chometz was only Noach for one day. Which means they only refrained from eating Chometz for one day. No, you're talking exactly right. We all hear you. This is okay.
I'm saying good Muslim.
Thank you, Rabbi. Rabbi Yo-Yo Shu is saying the best Muslim.
Torah!
I want to tell you that. Rabbi Yo-Yo Shu. Yeah, has something to do with Torah.
Chomets! Get rid of the chomets from yourselves, and this way you learn more Torah.
Beautiful.
They're good.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome.
I love Rabbi Yo-Yo. Fire you. Shane goes through the Yom Tov Lonoi. Uledati hu ahada amar lehem ata davar shaladoros hu lahorosh shem esosvot. Now, God told the Jewish people already in Egypt not to eat hametz. Isn't there a guy in yeshiva named hametz? Yeah. Don't eat him.
Was.
Where is he now?
He's coming for Purim.
Where is he in the States?
He's in the Queens yeshiva.
Queens.
Is he really coming for Purim?
Listen to this. Why does God tell us to keep 7 days of Passover for the generations, even though in Egypt we only kept one day? Why in Egypt did he really tell us to do for the generations? I want you to listen very carefully. All other religions and nations celebrate the day that they were victorious over their enemies. The day that they won a war. It's a holiday. It's a day of celebration. Lo kein b'Yisrael. The Jewish people never celebrate the day that they defeated their enemies. I'm not talking about Yom Kippur War or Six Day War or any modern holidays. I'm talking about traditional Jewish holidays. You will not find one day that celebrates the downfall of our enemies. You know, Ben Crown. The minute is first we watch Negavas and then we ask questions. I'm joking. Ben Crown, you're a tzaddik. You see, all you do is you love Hashem. People say to me, you're so smart. You know why you're smart? Not because you can add and subtract numbers. Because you love Hashem and you're always hanging around the base matters. That's why you're smart, Ben Crown. Because you love Hashem. Ukemev Shanemar. Yeah, it's nighttime. When you sleep at nighttime, you have to watch. Ukemev Shanemar. You don't have to, Ben Crown. I'm not telling you you have to. Don't make a bruh. Bin Paul Oivcha Al Tismach. When your enemy falls, you should not be joyous. Uvik Kashlo Al Yagel Libecha. And when he stumbles, your heart shan't rejoice. Pen Yire Hashem, lest the Lord see this. Vira Beinav, and it will be evil in his eyes. Veheshiv may Allah apo, and he will turn away from, and he will turn unto you his anger. Hare, says Rabbi Meir Simcha from Zvinsk. If you want in the back of the library, there's an unbelievable biography written by Rabbi Zev Rabiner on Rabbi Meir Simcha from Zvinsk, one of the most enjoyable biographies I ever read. About. I thought I enjoy every biography I read usually, but he has a lot of great stories about Rabbi Meir Simcha from Zvinsk. So Rav Meir Simcha asks, he also has a sefer called the Or Sameach. Very good. Hare, the Adam Hamayla Eino Sameach bin Pol Oivo. A great man, a man of ethics and morals, is not glad, does not rejoice at his enemy's downfall. Kill the Arabs! Mishum Sheha Simcha Rach the Einei Hashem, because God finds this joy evil. It rhymes with knievel. Halo, hara be'Einei Hashem, something is evil in the eyes of Hashem. Tzarech lesnoso, we have to hate it. Oh, have Hashem.
Sinura.
If you love God, you hate evil. That applies to evil itself, and it also sometimes applies to evil people. That's why Rav Kook says that some people, they say, no, we don't hate the person, we only hate his deeds. So they end up not hating the person, and they end up loving not only him, but his deeds as well. So the first thing to do is to hate Rishayim and their deeds. The next step is just to hate their deeds, the higher Madrega. But the first step is really to hate them, not because you hate them, because they're evil in the eyes of Hashem, but not to rejoice at anybody's downfall. Lachay, lo nizkar b'Pesach chagamatzos, kibo asa b'Mitzrayim shvatim. We don't say, oh, we're so happy about Pesach because God punished the Egyptians. Rak, what do we say? Ki hoti Hashem istanei sol Mitzrayim. What are we glad about? That God took us out of Egypt. That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the fact that we were saved. We're happy. We were saved. Now it had to be at their expense. Okay, that's the way it has to be. That's the way it has to be. But we're happy that we left Egypt, that we're not suffering anymore. Aval al malpelas oivim. But on the downfall of enemies, ein chag v'yom tov l'Yisrael, we have no holidays. So Ben Crown, we're getting to your question. Whenever I see Ben Crown, what do I want to do? I want to be chazen, I want to have a talis over my head, and I want to scream, Keter! You know, they have a Kedusha called Kedusha's Keter. So Keter is a crown. Now, here is Tyrian, as they say in Yiddish. Listen carefully. Al Neis Chanukah. What do we celebrate Chanukah? What is Chanukah a... what's the word called when there are two words and they're put together?
Compound.
What?
Compound.
A compound, I guess.
Compound.
No.
Cowboy.
Doesn't matter.
Yes.
Cowboy, yes.
I often look for words. I have a lot up here in the dictionary, but it's hard to find them. What?
No. It's like cowboy.
Like
yardstick.
Cowboy.
No. Well, Chanukah is Chanu B'chapeh. What does that mean?
I think that's what the Bereis says.
They rested on the 25th day. Ain ayom more Rakah had luck Hashem and Zeis. B'chinuch Beis Hashem. First of all, Chanu, they rested on the 25th. Second of all, Chanukah was that Chanukah Samizbeach. They rededicated the Beis HaMikdash. And the Shem and Zayitz. V'hashgachas elokim al amo Beis Yisrael v'zman shloyei Navi v'choza b'Yisrael. And that God looks over the Jewish people when there was no Navi amongst Israel. V'chei nasa adlak alenyan bilti mefursam. Hadlaka shmoni yam behechal, mishum shaman higim v'sari tzvah sari kohanim agedolim hachashmonayim. And that's why we celebrate the lighting by the Kohanim. We're on the next page. Maybe God was afraid that they would say, you know why they were victorious in the war? Because of their own might. Because they were so, they knew the right strategies. That's why they were victorious. God showed them a miracle in the base of Mikdash. So God made, that's a very famous idea, that God made the nation the Beis HaMikdash to show us that the war was also a miracle. And when you have a revealed miracle, then you also know that the hidden miracles are also miracles. But God made the nation in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Hanukkah is named after. It's not named after the war. It's named after what the nation in the Beis HaMikdash, the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash, the lighting of the menorah for 8 days, that is what we celebrate on Hanukkah to show that God is running the world. But it's not about the downfall of our enemies. That's why Rashi says in Maseches Gemara, in Maseches Shabbos. Maseches says, my Hanukkah. My Hanukkah. What's Hanukkah? So what would you answer? We killed those Syrian Greeks, Yimach Shemam. We were chopping their heads off. We were taking our spears. We were knocking them in the heart. Blood! People get all excited when they see blood. Yes? Well, these boys, man. Girls don't know. Oh, that's a cuckoo. So anyway, the point is, Tyra Yidden, that the Gemara says, my Chanukah, Rashi says, what miracle did the rabbis decree that we should be celebrating, commemorating on Chanukah? That's what Rashi says. And the Gemara says, k'shenichnesu yavanam lahechol, and then it tells the whole story about lighting the candles, nothing about the war. So it's not about the war. It's not about the downfall of our enemies. Ah, what about Chanu B'chafei? It's not that we waged war. We rested on the 25th. So what are we celebrating? The resting, not the war. V'chein b'nei sporem lo ha'asu yonta v'yom shenit l'haman v'yom shogu b'sonayim. That Purim is not the day that Haman was hanged, which was on what day? If I'm not mistaken, the 16th of Nisan. That's the day Haman was hanged. We don't celebrate Purim on the 16th of Nisan. What do we celebrate on the 16th of Nisan? The second Seder. For those of you who have a second Seder. Wasn't enough matzah for the first Seder? Oh, B'yom Shehargu B'sonayim, and we don't commemorate the war on Yud Gimel. What was the war? It was so nice having you. Come again. So, over Yom Shahar B'Sanayim. When did we wage war? On Yag. Yud Gimel. When is Purim? Yud Dalet. Your birthday is Yud Gimel Nisan? Yud Bet Adar. Yud Bet Adar. What are you going to be? You're going to be 19? It's a big day for you. Rabbi Nachman Breslov says, the best time for a person to change is when he's 18 years old, and in Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rabbi Nachman says. I was thinking about that. Rabbi Nachman is talking a few hundred years ago, and he says the ideal time for one to change is 18 and in Israel. So you guys are... Yeah. Chaparai now. You have another week and a half. You don't have much time.
What do I do if I'm 19?
What?
What do I do if I'm 19?
What do you do if you're 19? Tshuva. We all share with Sonam. We love you, Ari. Not we. I. I'm sure everyone else here also loves you, but I should only speak for myself. Obiyom shahargu b'sonayim. We don't make a permission on the day we defeated our enemies. Rak hayom tovu. Bayomim asher nochu me'oyveihem. The day they rested from their enemies. We're happy. We don't want enemies. You know, the Brisker Rav used to be a big opponent of the secular Zionists. So there was another guy who once came to his house and he was talking against the Tzionim and Yerushalayim. He says, you know the difference between you and I? Because he stopped and he said, well, the rabbi's also against him. He says, no, I'll tell you the difference. Difference is a housewife and a cat. What's the difference between a housewife and a cat? A housewife and a cat both love mice. A housewife and a cat both love mice.
Housewife
and a cat both love mice. The difference between them is that a housewife runs after, they both run after mice. She runs after the mice with a broom because she doesn't want them in the house. A cat runs after the mouse. Why? Because he wants to eat him. He wants the mouse to be there so he can eat him. The housewife runs after the mouse, but she doesn't want him to be there in the first place. So, but they both run after the mouse. He says, we're the same. He says, yeah, we both don't like the secular Zionists. But the difference is that you're happy they're here, like the cat, so that you can eat them up. You like the fight. I would just rather they not be here in the first place. We don't want wars. We want to have peace. The only thing is, the Brisker Rav felt that there's certain people that we can't that he can't make peace with because of their heretical viewpoints. But it's the same thing with the Yidden. We don't want wars. We don't want to kill. We don't want to hurt anybody. Not one Arab. We don't even want that a hair should fall from his head. Yes, unless he's getting really old, and that's the minhag ha'olam. When you're older, your hair falls. It gives you this baldness, a nice shine. You can also get a tan in more places. But in general, we don't want to hurt anybody. There's only one problem. That if somebody comes to try to hurt us, then habala hargacha. How does it end? You guys don't know Chazal. You guys didn't go through Shas. I don't understand. How does a person go to college without having learned the basic steps? That if somebody comes to kill you, you have to kill him first. So therefore, if an Arab is coming to kill a Jew or a Chayal, is it a mitzvah for the Chayal to shoot him?
Yeah.
Twice. No question. But the question is he happy? Oh, Baruch Hashem, this is so much fun. I have these latent violent tendencies. So instead of being a convict in the Ramla jail or in Alcatraz, instead I get to kill Arabs. Great. There are people like that. There are soldiers like that. Not Jewish ones, I hope. But certainly some Druze. You know, as it is, they're violent people. And it's great. They get to serve in the Israeli army. And then they don't like the Arabs either. Even though you would think they're the same, but they're not. So therefore, what's the idea? The idea is that that's why they say it's called Tzava Hagana Yisrael. What's Hagana? Defense. They're not the Israeli offense forces. Because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody. All we want is we have this little country from Eilat to Kiryat Shmona, probably a little bit more, but Barak, and we just want to live here peacefully. We don't want to bother anybody, and we don't want anyone to bother us. The only thing is, in the meantime, there are a lot of people who are bothering us, so we need to kill, and we need weapons, and we need tanks. But is it exciting? You know, when I see kids getting all excited, you know, little kids having their wall, pictures of fighter pilots, and an airplane, warplanes, and tanks, and guns, and all these things. That's not the Jewish way. We don't like, you know, Jews traditionally have never been hunters. There's a famous question that Novi Yehuda, the rabbi in Prague, 2 years ago, they got Lador. Somebody asked him if it's mutter according to Jewish law, to hunt. You know, he starts off the tshuva, you know, he says, hunting is not a traditional Jewish vocation. Esav was a hunter. Nimrod was a hunter. Jews generally aren't hunters. What's hunters? It's game. You go, you take a gun, and you just shoot a cow in the head for fun. That's the game. Sometimes they take the cow home and they eat them, but that's not why they're hunting. They're not hunting for dinner. Otherwise, they would just go to the local supermarket, and there's a lot of cows already in the fridge there. They don't have to go out. But they like that. So therefore, in an ideal world, we don't kill. We don't even kill animals. Yes, in an ideal world, we don't even kill animals. In today's world, the Mekubalim teach us that we have to kill animals also, because people were acting like animals. So in order that people should know that we're not animals, we eat them. We kill them. We walk on them. But in an ideal world, there's no killing at all. Why should anyone kill anybody? And so, the only thing is, yes, in the meantime, Haman had to go. Haman had to go. Amalek has to go. But in an ideal world, everybody's just doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everyone's friends. Let's say you're walking down the street one day, you're in the desert, you're on a teyul, and you see all of these snakes coming towards you, Chas V'Shalom. And all of a sudden, you take a shovel, hammer, whatever it might have been, probably a longer one, you want to stay far away, and you chop off their heads. Are you going to celebrate, Baruch Hashem, the day we killed the snakes? Good, he says, the day we... You're not happy you killed the snakes. What are you happy? You're safe. That's what we're happy about on Purim. We're happy we were safe. Ki rak asim chala menucha. We're happy we were able to rest. Lachain. Vayichtov Mordechai sedrim eile. Vayishlach svarim lekayim aleim v'yotosim. Kayyot bayamim asher nachu bahem ayuhud. Kayyot asher nachu bahem ayuhudim. Shalachain v'yichosh lekinat m'dorar tzalenu bein umos. Right? Because she said, they're going to be jealous of us. And Mordechai said, there's nothing to be jealous of. Why? Because we're just celebrating the fact that we rested. We're not happy that the enemies fell. We are happy that we're resting. Because the Gemara says, just talking about this. Esther was afraid that Goyim are going to get angry at us, that we're celebrating their downfall. And the answer is, we're not celebrating their downfall. What are we celebrating? That we were saved, that we were able to rest from our enemies. So, okay, and then he goes on and he explains another pasuk. Now, let's skip to Vihine Mitzrayim. Vihine, bottom of the column. Vihine Mitzrayim, Amitzrim, Nitpu B'Yamsuf B'Yom HaShvish Al Pesach. So the Mitzrim were drowned in the Yamsuf on the seventh day of Passover. V'im Haya Omer Hashem Yisbarach Shiyatze B'Shvi Mikra Kodesh. If the seventh day of Pesach was a holiday, Haya Medam Adam Shashem Tziva Latsas Haglas Mof Lama Balas Nishal Rishayim, then we would have thought that the holiday is to celebrate the downfall of the enemy. Because when did the enemy fall? On the seventh day of Pesach. Or Gemas Al Masina Shalom Mushira. V'Shenemar V'lo Karav Zel Zeh. Shena Kadosh Baruch Hu Sameach B'mar V'las Nishal Rishayim. God isn't happy. It says the angels didn't say Shira. It says, Ma'aseh Yadai. God says to the angels, Ma'aseh Yadai Tovim B'Yam. People that I created are drowning, and you guys are singing. You angels are singing. Why did the Jews sing?
They were saved.
Because they were saved. But the angels, what are you singing for? Just to see people dying, that's what you're happy about. It says in the Mechilta, the Medrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu was sad when he saw the Mitzrayim go. None of this like they do in sports, they used to when I was a kid. Na 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 na, na 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 na, hey, goodbye. Like they like to rub it in. We don't want to rub it in. Slicha. Ktat goyut shech nisu li la rosh. Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sameach B'Lav Lasin Shal Rishayim. Lachain Omar. Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shiyasu Chag HaShvi. That's why already in Egypt, before the sea was split and the Mitzrayim drowned, when they were still in Egypt, God said, keep Pesach for 7 days. Why? Because if he would have waited until after Kriyas Yamsuf, then why would we think we have 7 days of Pesach?
They were killed.
To celebrate the fact that they were killed. Therefore, Hashem told us even before they were killed that we should have 7 days of Pesach. So we know. Why are we happy? We're happy that we're leaving Egypt. That's what we're celebrating. We don't want to be in slavery anymore. Gevaldik, we left. Ula horos she'en achad mesigos mapelos mitzrayim b'yam. The holiday is not about the Egyptians falling in the yam. She'tzivulan teram she'nitzvul b'yam. That God commanded them before they drowned in the sea. And it also says in the Medrash, Remes Tafresh Melch. If you look in the Torah, you'll see that when it talks about Sukkot, it says a number of times you should be Sameach. When it talks about Pesach, it doesn't say the word Simcha. Now there's a din on Pesach, there's a halacha that you have to be happy on Pesach. Where do we learn it from? From Sukkot. But the word Simcha doesn't say regarding the holiday of Pesach. Why not? Because on Sukkot we really are happy because nobody was hurt on Sukkot. But on Pesach, our enemies were hurt. And we're not so happy about that. So the level of, first of all, the level of Simcha on Pesach isn't like that of Sukkot. Sukkot is a happier holiday than Pesach is. Even though Pesach is definitely a happy holiday. But Sukkot is even happier. And B, it doesn't say the word Simcha. Where is Simcha? It doesn't say the word Simcha regarding Pesach because it's not such a happy day. Because our enemies fell. Vein omrim halo kol shiva. We don't say halo all 7 days. Mishum. The complete hallow. Bin Paul Ivech Oivucha Al Tismach. Because when your enemy falls, you shouldn't be happy. So that's that. Now, there's a very, very beautiful idea stated by my Rebbe, Rabbi Cook. Now, the Gemara says the following, that they wanted to make a bracha against the Minim. Who are the Minim? The Lamal Shinim. How many brachas originally were there in Shmoneh Esrei?
18.
Shmoneh Esrei. Excellent. Now, how many brachas are there?
19.
Why? Because there was a group of Jews, the Minim, the Lamal Shinim. Those Jews who go get other Jews in trouble, they're Malshinim. They go to the Goyim and they say, the Jews are doing this and this wrong, and they endanger our lives. And they were Minim, the early Christians. They say that that bracha was written against the early Christians. What are the early Christians doing? They were taking a beautiful holy religion, and they were contaminating it. They introduced pagan customs. What'd you say?
Raping it.
They were introducing pagan customs, and you see what it developed into? You see how much evil has been wrought by Christianity? And to this day, there are many, many enemies of Am Yisrael who we daven that they should see the end. Alti Sikva, B'chol Shem Krega Toveidu. That's the only bracha we say Mehera a few times. We don't say Mehera, give me das. We don't say Mehera, let us do tshuva. We say Mehera, let our enemies fall. Let these terrible Malshinim and Minim fall and be destroyed. Toveidu, they should manage be destroyed. So they wanted somebody to write this bracha. They wanted somebody to formulate a bracha against the Apikorsen. They couldn't find anyone to do it until they found a yid named Shmuel HaKotan. Masechet Bracha Perek Revi. Samo G Go. Perek Revi Masechet Brachas. So if Cook says, how come? And he says this idea, numerous people say this idea, but I say it in his name because he's the one I remember. But there are other people who said they're a very similar idea. How come only Shmuel HaKotan can formulate this bracha? Nobody else can do it. Nobody else can write this bracha except for Shmuel HaKotan. You know why? Says Rav Kook, beautiful. Listen to this. It says in Pirkei Avos that Shmuel HaKotan used to have a motto. You know what his motto was? This pasuk. Bin Pol Oivcha Al Tismach. Don't be happy at the downfall of your enemy. Well, because so, when he stumbles, Ayogeli Becha, don't have joy in your heart. Pen Yir Hashem, let the Lord see. Barab Einav, and it'll be evil in his eyes. Ve'eshim el Abapel, and it'll turn out to you his anger. So Shmuel HaKadon's Mida was, his trait was, that he wasn't happy at his enemy's downfall. Now, when somebody's writing this bracha, what are they going to be thinking? They're writing against these Rishayim, and they hate them in a way that isn't purely L'shem Shamayim. In other words, part of it is that they hate them because they're a Rishayim, and that God also doesn't like them. And part of the reason they hate them is just because they're very hateful people. Like, for example, when a person shoots an Arab, let's say you're in the army, part of the reason you're shooting the Arab is because it's a mitzvah of Hashem. It's a mitzvah. This person's endangering your life. So therefore, you have to defend yourself, and you're killing them, and it's a mitzvah. You can make a bracha. No, a bracha. Ma'ariv Aravim. So there you say, you send them into the ocean, you send them to the west, and you make send to the west. Good. So the something about Aravim. I guess that's the only bracha that talks about Aravim. So you can say I'm Ariv Aravim, beautiful. So you make a bracha. Now, part of the reason when you're shooting that Arab, part of you is like how about this? Like Clint Eastwood feels. You know, when he shoots somebody in the head. Ever see a movie and you know the bad guy got it? And you're like, yeah. Part of it is the own hostility and the hatred that you harbor towards this person is very satisfied when you kill him. Now, is that pure? No, that's not pure. That's personal. It says in the Gemara, Gavaldik. It says in the Gemara that if you have a sone, it's a mitzvah to help him with his donkey. There are two people who need help with their donkey. There's an oev and there's a sone. Who should you help? The one you hate, not the one you like. Someone says, what type of sone is it? Somebody who it's mutter to hate. Obviously, it's somebody who it's mutter to hate. Tosfos says, it must be. Because otherwise you're not allowed to hate him. So there are certain people it's mutter to hate them. And yet you should still help the one you hate. You hate him al pi alacha. And yet you should still help him. Why, says the Gemara? Kedei lakofes yitzroh. In order to force your yetzer. What does that mean? You're supposed to hate him. What's the problem? Tosfos is gevaldik. He says, really, Al Pidin, you're allowed to hate this person. And therefore, when there are two people to help, help the guy you like. There's only one problem. If you don't help him, then he's going to hate you back. Now, if he hates you back, then you're going to hate him even more. Why do you hate him even more? Because it's a mitzvah to hate him? Because he's a Rasha and Al-Pidin, you're allowed to hate him? According to Jewish law, you're allowed to hate him? Or do you hate him because he hates you? You hate him now doubly because he hates you. So therefore, the Gemara says, help the Sone so that you don't stray from your permitted boundaries. You're within the permitted boundaries of hating this person, al pi halacha. You see him, he's a Rasha, he's an Oved Aveira. You gave him tochacha, and he didn't listen to you, and he continues to be a Rasha. And now it's a mitzvah to hate him. The Gemara says, mitzvah is nosa. So it's a mitzvah to hate. But it can't be personal at all. You have to totally hate him, l'shem shamayim. And if you don't help him, then he's going to start hating you because you're a jerk, because he needed this help with his donkey. And you didn't help him, so he hates you, and now you hate him for two reasons. You hate him because Hashem said to hate him, and you hate him because he doesn't like you, and natural human psychology is that we're inclined to hate people who hate us, and we're inclined to like people who like us. So therefore, the Gemara says, no, help him so that you don't stray from the proper path. Yes, Eitan.
What about the person you don't help? Even if you like him and he likes you at that moment, if you don't help him when he's in need of assistance, he may start disliking him.
Right. So then you can help him. But then what about the Sone? So we're more worried that you're going to end up being Sone, the one you already hate, than that the one who you love, you're going to end up being Sone. And also you can tell him, I'll pee in, I have to hate this guy, he's my Sone. I don't know if you should say it so loud. But you're right, either way you're in trouble. So ideally you should help both of them. But since we're worried about you, and you're worried about this issue of hating without outside of the boundaries of halacha, we tell you to help your enemy and don't help your friend. So remember, you're helping your enemy, who's your enemy according to Jewish law, so that he doesn't become your enemy against Jewish law. Yes, Ilan.
Does the Torah say that there are certain people that you should hate or you're allowed to hate?
Ah, so there's a machlokas in the Gemara. Some say motir l'snoso, and there's an opinion of the Gemara that says mitzvah, there's certain people, there's a mitzvah to hate. Now, today, I don't know many people around the Madrega that they can really hate people only l'shem shamayim. I don't know anybody. Maybe there are people like that. But I don't know anybody. Usually when we don't like somebody, part of it is, you know, something religious maybe. You know, this guy's a Rasha. And part of it is just not a likable guy. Maybe he's not a likable guy because of his rishus. But it's not purely l'shem shamayim. Now, comes this Yid Shmuel HaKotan. Shmuel HaKotan. All of the animosity that he harbored towards his enemies was pure and holy. Bin Paul Ebechal Tismach, even when he saw his enemy, he was his enemy according to Allah, when he saw that an Arab was killed, he wasn't so happy. He wishes that he didn't have to. What can he do? Listen, the guy's about to blow up a bus. Instead it blew up on him. So Baruch Hashem, we were saved. But he wishes that he wouldn't have put the dynamite in his back in the first place. There are other people, myself included, who when I hear a story like that, that there was an Arab on his way to do a pigua, a terrorist attack, and it blew up on him? And sometimes I like when he stays alive. Let him suffer! Yeah! In the hospital! 79 degree burns! Yeah! Look at him! He's tortured! That'll teach him a lesson! And then die a week or two later. You know, we don't need him around. And then, like I always say, bury him 12 feet under. Right? Why not 6? Because deep down, he's really a nice guy. So, that's it, Tyree Yidden. That's the way I feel. Why? Because I'm not 100% pure. He's not only my enemy, al pi halacha, but he's also my enemy because I just don't like him. I don't like him. I don't like his cigarette breath. I don't like the fact that I can't walk down the street without being afraid of one of these crazy nuts. I don't like the fact that so many of my brothers and sisters' lives have been destroyed by these rishayim. I don't like them for many reasons, but it's not totally pure. So I, Ali Ehrman, could not write Berachas Aminim. Aber the Heilig Yid Rishmuel HaKotan, whose whole motto was he doesn't rejoice at his enemy's downfall, and all of his hatred was purest of the pure. He was fitting to be metaken to formulate Birchas Haminim, and he can write, V'lo malshinim al di yizikva, let there be no hope for these Rishayim. V'chol Rishak regadove v'chol Ebecha Meira yikareisu, they should all be cut off. V'azim Meira sa'akir, uproot them. Ushishaber, break him. Usmager, destroy him. misachnia and subjugate them. B'meheira b'yameinu. He said it a few times. Let me go quick. Brother Hashem, show their oivim u'machnia zedim. And he can say it with such love in his heart. Love for who? For the Rabbanu Shalom. And the only thing is, Avoisai. Like, it's like, you know, sometimes you go to the yard, and you see Betty the cow, and you say, Betty, you're such a good cow. You're such a sweet cow. But it's Shabbos tomorrow, and we need to eat you. We need to be ma'anik to Shabbos. It says, kol ma'anik to Shabbos. No sin lachal abli mitzarim. You don't see Chavle Mashiach eat Shabbos Sudas on Shabbos. You say, we have to, Betty. But it's all a shame shemaim. Like, you ever see the movie The Frisco Kid? He was running after it. It was a funny movie about a chassid and a bandit, like a Wild West. It was very, very funny. It was a Gene Wilder. So he was running, the chassid was running after a chicken. You know, the chicken was running away. So he says, I don't want to help you. I just want to make you kosher. So there's a lot of funny about it. It's a very, very funny movie. Frisco Kid. Yeah. Yeah, you're Malik. So there are some sources that say that pasuk is talking about Jews only Jewish enemies, and there are other sources that say that pasuk is talking even about Gentile enemies. So you see that there are makoros in Chazal who say that it's talking about non-Jews. If you want to see the makoros, Harav Reb Meilich, if you look in the book Tichumen in the library in volume 10 on page 262 to 270, he has an article on that's actually this Meshech Chachma, I saw it quoted there. So I got to it. What? It doesn't matter who wrote it, I don't even remember who wrote it, but he brings down the sources where Ben Polo is talking about Goyim, when it's talking about Jews, and when it applies and when it doesn't apply. So therefore, if we're going to hate, we only have to hate L'shem Shemayim. If you're not in the Madrega, that you can hate somebody only because God hates him, and there's anything personal involved, any personal feelings, then the hatred isn't pure. And therefore, when an Arab, you know, when you hear that there's some disaster that happens, some third world country, or, you know, some people say, Baruch Hashem, the Goyim really got it. I don't know if it's Baruch Hashem, the Goyim got it. It could be, Chazal say, that everything that happens in the world is for us. It's definitely to wake us up that we should do tshuva, and it's definitely better that it happened to them and not us. Just like it says in Chazal, that when you, there's a medrash that says that you're in the house and you're washing dishes. They always say the etza is that the first week of marriage, you should do the dishes, and break a couple, and that's going to be the last dish you're ever going to have to wash. That's the advice they always give. So you're in your kitchen and you're washing dishes. Well, I never had to do that. For kids, my boy, he always tells me, like, what are you doing dishes for? Why don't you, if you want to learn, you can go learn. So you should all be zochet, that's such good ones. So the, what?
Where does it say that you break the dishes?
It's a medrash, and if you want to know where the medrash is quoted, you should come Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights, 10 to 10:30, in the small classroom. There's a Mesillas Yesharim, guys learn Mesillas Yesharim together, led by Rav Shlomo Baruch, the Baba Rebbe, and it's quoted in the Mesillas Yesharim. So it says when you break a dish, what that means is, what it could very well mean is, it could have been your skull, it could have been Chas V'Shalom, your back, and instead it was a dish. So you should say, Rabbono Shel Olam, I want to thank you from the depths of my heart that it was the dish that got it and not me. And we can say that also about the Arabs, or about anybody, when you hear that there was an earthquake and a flood in Egypt, and 25,000 Egyptians were killed. You can say, Rabbono Shel Olam, I know that's to arouse me to do tshuva. It didn't happen far from here, and I'm going to do tshuva. But thank you for making it happen to them, that they should get, you know, they always say that a wise man learns from his own mistakes. A clever man learns from other people's mistakes. So let us learn from them instead of having to learn from ourselves, from our own suffering. And we want to thank you for that. Now, if anybody there, if you think that those 25,000 Egyptians who drowned in the flood, if any of them were planning to kill Jews, and they probably weren't Jew lovers, so you can say, okay, the other 25,000 less people we have to worry about who want to kill us. So Baruch Hashem, less people we have to worry about who want to kill us. Now we're only left with, let's say, I would say about 5 billion people probably would be happy to see no more Jews left on the planet Earth. So now it's, 25,000 less than 5 billion. Beautiful. So you can say that. But just to say that you're happy that people were killed, and when the Jewish people always say, look at Sefer Yehoshua. They went in there. They went into the land of Israel. Their head was rolling. You know what I mean? They come in with a... So it says in Chazal, it says in Pesukim, it's brought down to Rambam. They sent them a letter, and they said, you have three options. The first option is Guy Arroyce. It's not a French painter, Guy Arroyce. Rather, it means go away, go somewhere else. It's a great, it's a big world. Go somewhere else. That's your first option. Second option, you can stay in Israel, but this is the land God gave to us. So therefore, I want you to be our servants. You can clean our houses for us. You can mow our lawns. But we're going to be in charge. Because we have a very small country. We're a very small people. And if you want to stay in Israel, this is what you have to do. Eretz Canaan, they say in all the Chassidus Yisrael. Miloshon Hachna. This is where we're supposed to subjugate ourselves to God. Hachna means to subordinate yourself. And also, you people have to subordinate to us. Good. What's option three? Option three is
Misa.
Option three is you have surgery whereby we detach your head from the rest of your body. That's option three. Now you can tell, we'd rather do option one, and why should we have to spill blood? But if that's what it comes to, that's what it has to come to. Now you can see sometimes they came to cruel deaths. Stories. If you read through the novel, you see it's not always so pretty. So somebody once wrote a letter with Cook and he says, what's all this barbarism? What's all this barbarism in the Tanakh? You know what Rav Kook said? Rav Kook said that, you know how you have to behave with barbarians? Barbarically. That's what you have to do. So therefore, let's say you have an Arab terrorist. Yes? And you want to pull information out from him. You want to, what's the word?
Extract.
Thank you. You want to extract information from this guy. So you take him down to Shabak, the secret service, the Israeli secret service. They take him down to a very dark basement. Yes. And they say to him, would you please tell us everything that's going on, you know, in Jenin and all these places, what you guys are planning? And the person says, Niet. He's a Russian-speaking Arab. So you say, Niet. So you take his arm and go, Niet! And then you hear the crack. So he says, do you have anything to tell us? He goes, okay, there's one guy that gives him an address. He said, yo, thank you very much. They write it down. Do you have any more information? He says, Niet. They make another crack, Niet! And until they get that something, yes! There are certain people, that's the only language they understand. You would much prefer that it be done without having to break any bones, without any torture. If something that has to be done with torture, then that's what has to be done, only to save people's lives, and that's because that's the only language they understand, but not that we're Chas v'Shalom happy to do it. And I'll tell you even better. It says there's a mitzvah in the Torah that we kill in Yir Nidachos. There's a city where they're serving idols. Then we have to go and we have to kill out the city. So that's what the Torah says. So after the whole parsha there, it says, V'nasan l'cha racham v'richamecha. God's going to give you a bracha, but you're going to be merciful. Why? So I think it's the Netzivah who explains, the Netzivah Mivalajan, the Yeshiva, the Velajan Yeshiva, and they closed in 1892. So he says that when somebody kills, even if he's doing it for a mitzvah, but it makes him into a more cruel person. And that's when we're trying to be compassionate to people. So therefore, God says, don't worry about it. When you're making this mitzvah, I'll give you a special bracha, that you'll be merciful. You'll eat, in spite of the fact that you had to be making this mitzvah of killing these people, you'll still be a merciful person. So I once heard in the name of the Holy Rebbetzin, Golda Meir, she said, I can forgive the Arabs for killing our sons, but I can never forgive the Arabs for making our sons kill them. Now, the first part, I take issue with. I don't know if Rebbetzin Goldola can forgive anybody for killing anybody unless it was herself. And we can't be mochel in our own lives, but certainly not to be mochel, that somebody else's son was killed and you're mochel. I don't know if you could be mochel. But what I do know is the second part I agree with 100%, that we'll never forgive them for it. We have to have an army, and we have to train young men to kill. And you know what's worse? We have to train young women to kill. I mean, I would never marry a girl who went to the army. But imagine, you have a woman, you have a young girl, a sweet girl, and you put a gun into her hands, and you teach her to kill. And 2 years later, she's raising little children. Now, I'm not saying, Khalila, that they're bad mothers. You don't think it has an effect on a person? That absolutely. So therefore, that's something that we would prefer to live in the really peace in the Middle East. But in the meantime, the reason we're not peacenicks, the reason we're not a left-wing rally, peace, 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 is because what it really means, when the Arabs, when they say peace, what they really mean is like they always say, they want a piece of Tel Aviv, and they want a piece of, they don't want a piece, they want the whole thing, and they want us in the sea. And that's clear. So in the meantime, we have to wage war, and we have to teach people to kill, and even if you hold,
against every single posek that ever lived, that it's mutter today for a girl to be in the army, even if you hold that way. So, okay, so she has to, and it's a time of war, and the Mishnah says in Sota that at a time of war, even the girls have to fight. But still, you're teaching women to kill. You're teaching mommies to kill. Yes? And then afterwards, the baby wakes up in the middle of the night crying. She goes, "Inna, what's her first reaction?" "Bill!" she takes out her M16. She points it at the baby and says, "I'm the Israeli son!" So obviously, she's not going to shoot. Not going to shoot. No Jewish mother would kill their baby. Except for one. There's a woman in American jail who would kill her baby. But nobody would ever do that. But just the attitude. The attitude is that that's what you think. So when you're a yeshiva bacher, so when somebody really bothers you, so you think, what can I say to get them back? And when you go up on the streets of Harlem, when somebody annoys you, what's your first reaction? Take a knife and you stab. That's the way they deal. That's the way they deal with conflict. So therefore, Tyree, and I just want to give the Yisod Advarim, and then we'll call it with a name. The Yisod Advarim is that we are here, as the famous expression goes, don't make war. We are here to love people. I didn't make up that expression. We are here to love people. Who are we here to love? We're here to love, first and foremost, the Rabbanu Shalom, Am Yisrael, and all of mankind. Really, we want to be nice there. We want to make everybody feel good. Everybody who's created a Selim Elohim. As Kidei Kach, that Rabbi Yudah Nasi got in trouble once. In the Gemara, he got punished. Because it was once an animal that was going to be shechted. And he ran to Rabbi to take refuge. And Rabbi said to him, "Go, Lekach no Tzarta, that's why you were created. You were created to be shechted." And Rabbi was punished for that. Because a little bit of insensitivity. No, we want to make everybody feel good at the end. But. And now, before we get to the but. And that's why Purim is not a celebration of the war. Purim is a celebration that we were saved. Now we're resting. And the same with Hanukkah. And Pesach is also not a celebration that the Egyptians were drowning. Because as you said, God said to the angels, he said, "How can you guys sing? My handiwork is drowning in the ocean." And the only reason the Jewish people sang is because they were safe. They weren't happy that the Egyptians were killed. They were happy that the people who were trying to kill them are no longer running after them to kill them. And it's now. So that's why, so no holiday celebrates anybody else's downfall, and we've encoded the pasuk. Then Polei Beth Al Tisma. The only thing is that in the pre-messianic world, sometimes it's necessary to kill. Sometimes it's necessary to use violence. Sometimes it's a mitzvah to kill. And the best example is, today, in the modern state of Israel, we have to have guns, and we have to teach people how to use them, and how to kill our enemies. But the idea would be that there wouldn't be anybody to kill. Like the housewife doesn't want mice in her house. And not like the cat who's happy that there's mice so there's someone for him to eat. No. We should wrap it up in that once they're ready here. We have to do what we have to do. And therefore, all of this, you know, hatred that I sometimes hear from Jewish people's mouths, I don't think that it's so pure. And the only way it's mutter to hate, and it is mutter to hate sometimes, it's a mitzvah to hate, only if it's totally pure. Another thing I see, incidentally, is that we discussed before, that when somebody has to be violent for a mitzvah, it also has an effect on them, a psychological effect, and it makes them violent for non-mitzvah purposes. And I see the same thing with hatred. I know of people who hate Arabs, and they hate our enemies, and they also hate a lot of Jews. And I know other people who love a lot of Jews, and it also carries over. If they're not, you know, they're not so happy, you know, they hear an Arab was killed or whatever it was, they'd rather not be killed, because that attitude of loving, they're here to love, it carries over to, and it carries over even to animals. There's no reason that even animals should suffer. We don't want anyone to suffer. Now, if you want to do an experiment to find a cure for cancer, and you have to use rats, so it's better that a rat should suffer than a human being should suffer, and it's better that an Arab should be blown up before he does a pigua, then God forbid, do what he's planning to do. But it's better you not want to do make a terrorist attack in the first place. Therefore, Tyree Yidden, we should all be zocher this Purim to be very, very happy that we're alive today, and that we're here today, and that we should immediately spread a message of love with simcha. 2, 3, 4. Al hanisim ve'al ha'porgan ve'al ha'goros. Choo choo, choo choo, ala milchamo, she'asita la voseinu, vaya
Yami Mahe Mazana Ja.